pages 68 and 69 in the New Testament section. The Holy Gospel is written in the 8th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, beginning at the 4th verse. When a great crowd gathered, and people from town after town came to Jesus, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell on the path and was trampled on. And the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered for lack of moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew with it and choked it. Some fell into good soil, and when it grew, it produced 100-fold. As he said this, he called out, "Let anyone with the ears to hear, listen." Move with me, please, to verse 11 on page 69. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones on the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe only for a while, and in a time of testing fall away. As for what fell among the thorns, these are the ones who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. But as for those in the good soil, these are the ones who, when they hear the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patient endurance. This is the Gospel of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for this portion of your holy word. Part of the book, Who Runs May Read. Grant to us, O Lord, that in this honest and good heart we may hear and receive and understand and keep your holy word. For Jesus Christ's sake, Amen. What did Jesus mean when he said, "Let anyone who has ears to hear, listen"? Well, what he meant was, over to you. I've told you a story. It contains a truth. Over to you. You've got ears to hear, so perk up. Listen and learn. You can go away, you can say, "That was a nice story." If you have ears to hear, you're responsible to listen. And when he explained the, as we call it, the parable of the sower, he said, the seed is the word of God. Just at the moment, we're thinking all the time, are we not, about the Bible? That's why we're reading Psalm 119, where every verse refers in one way or another to the Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. The seed is a very distinctive and different thing, isn't it? You can't mistake it for the hard soil of the path. Quite different. Or for the stones in the rocky ground, it's quite different. Or for the thorns that spring up, it's quite different. The seed is a very distinctive, very special thing. The Lord Jesus told another story about a man who sowed good seed in his ground. Do you remember? And while people were asleep, his enemy came along and sowed what we used to call tares. The parable of the tares. I've no idea what a tare is. I've never heard of it except in that bit of the Bible. And the Greek word is zizania. And nobody knows what a zizania is either. But he sold zizanias among the wheat. Weeds, I suppose you would say. When they grew up, they were different. The seed and its produce was different. And the tares couldn't have come, the weeds couldn't have come from the seed, because he sowed good seed in his field. So it had to be explained in a different way. The seed was all right. So where did the tares or weeds or zizanias come from? The Word of God is a distinctive thing, different from anything else, quite unique, quite special. The seed is the Word of God. The Word of God is the seed. It's that distinctive, unique, special thing, different from anything else. So what's different about it? I'll tell you what's different about it. It's the only book in the world that tells us about Jesus. That's what's different about it. It's the Jesus book. Now, I've told you this before, but our poor old memories, you know, keep saying something. The Old Testament is Jesus expected. The Gospels are Jesus revealed. The Acts is Jesus preached. The Epistles are Jesus explained, and the book of Revelation is Jesus expected. Come right round again. Jesus expected, Jesus revealed, Jesus preached, Jesus explained, Jesus expected. The Bible is the Jesus book. That's what's special about it. It's the book that tells us about Jesus, that pearl of great price, that towering, unique, majestic, and lovely figure, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I suggest you open your Bible and read the Gospel of Luke. Just fill your eyes day after day with Jesus. And that Jesus, he came to us and said, look, the Bible is the Word of God. You don't have to worry. Everywhere you open it, it's the Word of God. That was his attitude. An expert in the law came to him and said, "Which commandment in the law is greatest?" And Jesus said, "What is written in the law, how do you read?" He didn't say this bit, that bit, the other bit. He didn't say be careful about this bit or reject that bit. He didn't say be choosy. He said open your Bible and read it. The Lord Jesus accepted the Bible as the Word of God. The Lord Jesus tied himself to the Bible as the Word of God. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when dear, brave, rash, unthinking Peter drew his sword and cut off the ear of the servant of the high priest, wanting to make a fight of it, Jesus said, "Look, put your sword away. People who take the sword perish by the sword. And do you not think that even now I could ask the Father and he will give me 12 legions of angels?" But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? Do you see? Do you see what a devotion to the scriptures he had? What an attitude to the scriptures he had? Let me read to you a little passage from Mark's Gospel, where Jesus is in controversy with the Pharisees. Listen to what he said. "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and mother,' but you say, 'If anyone tells his father or mother, whatever you might have had with profit from me has been dedicated to God,' you do not allow a person to do anything for his father and mother, making the word of God void because of your tradition." The commandment of God, the word of God. Oh yes, Moses said it. God brought his word to us through human agents. But he did so in such a marvelous, unique, indeed miraculous way, that what came out as their word was actually his word. And when the prophets came along and said, "Thus saith the Lord," or more accurately, "This is what the Lord has said," they meant, if the Lord himself came to you instead of sending me, this is what he would say, and these are the words he would use. The Bible is God's word, couched in God's words. It is the commandment of God. It is the word of God. It is the unique book, oh beloved. The unique book, the Jesus book, wasn't meant to rest on our bookshelves gathering dust, unread. The unique book, the Jesus book, wasn't meant to rest on our bedside tables unopened. The seed is a unique thing. The word of God is a unique thing. A good seed is inevitably productive. It can't help it. That's what it's for. The man sowed good seed in his field. It had to bring forth wheat. It had no choice. A good seed is inevitably productive. And when Jesus told the parable of the sower, he said, he showed us that This seed is inevitably productive. Even if it falls among thorns, it grows. Even if it falls on stony ground, it still grows. The seed can't help producing its effect. It is the good seed. And have you met anybody who said, "Oh, I've given up Bible reading. I wasn't getting anything out of it"? Have you met that person? Now I want to say to you, beloved, that is an impossibility. Tell me this. What did you eat for lunch last Wednesday fortnight? Can't remember? So you got nothing out of it? You give up eating? Just as food can't help being nourishing, so when we expose ourselves to the Bible, the Word of God, it can't help having its effectiveness. Of course, if we give up and put it to one side, we've switched it off. We put the seed back in the packet. Ian almost began the Old Testament reading at the wrong verse this morning. And I was so sorry he didn't go on at the wrong verse. Psalm 119:105. The Authorized Version. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. There it is. You see, you're going along a dark path and you've got a torch in your hand. And you shine your torch down so that you're not going to put your foot in a puddle or halfway on a rut and turn your ankle. You shine it on your path. So as you see where you're going, your word is a lantern to my feet. Your word is like a car headlight switched up full so that it shines on the road ahead and picks out all the cat's eyes. And you know where you're going. It's effective, like good seed. It does what it says. The entrance of your word gives light. That's Psalm 119 also, verse 130. The entrance, the door of your word gives light. You've come up a dark path to visit a friend. And you knock on the door. And your friend comes out of the living room and switches on the light in the hall. And opens the door, and suddenly you're standing in the light. You're not in the darkness anymore. The door of your word gives light. Of course, it has to be so. That's what it is. It's the good seed that can't help being productive. It's the lamp and the light that can't help shining. However, of course, seed left in the packet is useless. The first house we lived in Bristol was quite an old house. It was probably built sometime in the 17th century. And it had been furnished, I think, in a very antique way too. And in our sitting room, there was an enormously high mantel shelf. It wasn't of any value. It was an old thing made of pine wood. But it was miles up in the air, the fashion of those days. And we got tired of it, and we thought, it's time we changed that. So I got my tools out and prized it off the wall and cut the legs off it. And when we brought it down, we hadn't seen the top of it for years. When we brought it down, there was a packet of seed on it. Where did that come from? I don't know. Did it grow? Of course it didn't. It was still in the packet and up on the shelf. The seed left by itself remains fruitless. Seed in the packet is ineffective seed. Hence the Lord Jesus says, "But as for those on the good soil, these are the ones who they hear, they hold, they receive in an honest and good heart, and they bring forth fruit with patience." They plant the seed inwardly in themselves. They never read their Bibles without saying to the Lord, "Lord, give me a verse for today. Give me something to hold and hide in my heart." And the Lord Jesus was tempted by the devil. Do you remember? One verse was enough to send him packing. The word of God is effective. There is a book who runs may read. Oh, even in a hurried day, beloved, open the book.